Weather teeth out. Legendary sports talk. Melnick in the afternoon. TSN 690.
Looking like he left early in the third period. And oftentimes we'll get word from Canadians public relations if a player will be back or not. Or obviously they just tell us he won't be back. If he's back, he's back. But either way, they are scraping the ice here at the Staples Center in Los Angeles.
Sunday.
Radulov from the left wing will dump it into the far corner. And Darnay finishes his bump on Bouwmeester. Darnay goes down. And he's shaken up on the play. Radulov spinning with it. Darnay slowly making his way back to the bench.
Well, they don't need another centerman to go down.
See, that's all they need. And he's just gliding now to the Canadiens bench.
And last night in St. Louis.
Well, it's official. David Darnay will not return tonight. He's out with a lower body injury. Unfortunate. He's played his best hockey in the last few games.
Yeah, he has. And then the Canadiens now down another centerman.
It's painless. It brings on many changes.
I know Gord Miller recognizes this theme song. Welcome back. It's hour number four, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Dan Robertson, Sergio Mameso. So we got the word just before 6 o'clock, about 10 minutes ago. Both Galchenyuk and Desharnais out 6 to 8 weeks.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the afternoon. Brought to you by Wrangler's Premium Performance Cool Vantage Jeans. Don't sweat the job. Do like Gary Price. Choose Wrangler's Cool Vantage Jeans to be cool and stay cool.
Good evening, Gord. Welcome back. I know you didn't go anywhere, but I feel like I have to welcome you back because it's been a while.
Well, no, you weren't here.
Yes.
You were. You had a lower. Was it upper body injury or lower body injury, man?
I would say. I wasn't expecting to answer that. I would say, well, right in the middle, actually. Honest to God, right in the middle, right in lower gut is what it was.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mid-body.
Yeah, a middle body. How come we don't hear that? Why was Pat Quinn, like, deciding to go upper and lower but not mention middle?
I was talking to Bobby Ryan because, you know, he's got that broken finger in his hand. I said, is that lower body or upper body? Because if you hold your arm down, you know, your hand is below your waist. Is that lower body? Like, what is it?
Yeah. Most hockey players' hands would be lower body.
Yeah, true enough.
How you been?
I've been well. I've been better than the centers I've been for the Montreal Canadiens.
Well, isn't it uncanny? Both in the third period on the road trip, both gone 6 to 8 weeks for a team that was already pretty thin down the middle.
Yeah, and so now what do you do? I guess, you know, Andrew Shaw's got to play center. He already has been. You're going to need more from Plekanec, obviously. And I guess Fennan Regatta was up, and you know, you're just going to have to kind of cobble it together and see what you can do for the next. I mean, 8 weeks is tough. That's, you know, the problem is if it was 3 weeks, you'd say, you know, they could gut it out. But 8 weeks is tough. 2 months for both guys, that just leaves you too thin. I don't think you go out and make a trade, but at the same time, you know, how long can you cobble it together?
Yeah, I think in the short term, I think Mitch Gallo made the point earlier, the Canadian schedule by today's NHL standards right now, it's kind of light. Like their games are spaced out. They're back home now for a bit. They don't have a lot of back-to-back. Actually, they got back-to-backs coming up next weekend. San Jose, Washington. But they got 3 days off after they host the Bruins. So they got New Jersey, Colorado, and Boston coming up. Then they got 3 days off, and they got the back-to-back. I'm just trying to figure out how many games, 2 months. I would say about 20. Is that fair? Games?
The issue for Montreal, I would say, we talked about this a month ago or so, is if they have a weakness, it's probably down the middle.
Yeah.
Even when they're healthy, they probably lose the center matchup most nights against, you know, the top half of teams. And now it's going to be demonstrably worse. Now, can Torrey Mitchell handle more minutes? Yeah, probably. But they're still going to line up against, you know, top eight teams and be decisively worse down the middle. And that's going to be a problem to address because besides having an outmanned defense, being outmanned down the middle is probably the worst you can be.
And that's why a lot of fans were thinking, and of course the fan base here, as you know, is kind of scarred from what went down a year ago at this time, right, when Carey Price, and he never came back.
Yeah.
And so they have seen a tremendous start completely slip away. I'm not being an alarmist here. That's part of their psyche here as they project ahead. The Canadians, as we speak, sit in first place overall in the National Hockey League. It's hard to imagine, though, keeping that kind of pace up with the two centermen missing.
Well, Gord,
that's the goal. I'll be honest. I wouldn't think that would be their goal. I would think what you're looking at now is stay top three in the division.
But it's like, because of what Mitch outlined, the points that have been banked, it's like they're devalued here because of what the team experienced a year ago.
Well, but they're not devalued mathematically. You have them. You know, if they play 500 the rest of the way, they finish with 93 points, which is right on the playoff cut line.
Yeah, bubble.
So, but almost everyone, but my point is almost everyone plays 500, right? So if you look at the overall standings in the NHL right now, you know, the Islanders are in 27th place overall. They're a 500 team.
Well, an overtime loss and a shootout loss is a loss as far as we're concerned.
No, but you're banking points, though. Right? My point is you're banking points.
Yes. See, I laid out this Melnick in the Afternoon kind of rule. We don't have any rules here.
Oh, no?
It, you know, well, in my life.
There's clearly no dress code.
I haven't worn a tie. We were talking about the Cam Newton story. The last time I wore a tie, honest to God, I believe the last time I wore a tie, when I used to host a television show here in the 90s called The Habs This Week, and I was celebrating Elvis's birthday, and the executive vice president at CTV locally, Channel 12 here, the late Bill Merrill, I knew he was an Elvis freak.
Yeah.
So I said, can I put the Elvis tie on for this occasion? And they said, yeah, Merrill would love it. And, of course, I got a note from him immediately afterwards. That's the last time I wore a tie.
Good to know. So what's the rule about ties and losses? Sorry, about losses.
Well, yeah, the point is the Islanders, they're
not
500.
When I look at standings, I add the overtime loss as a loss.
Yeah, the Islanders are 10-15 or 10-16, whatever it is.
But they're not.
Yes, they are.
They've lost 16 games and won 10.
Losses are ties. You have to view the losses as ties.
Now we're back to ties again.
The goal is to make the playoffs, and to make the playoffs, you're going to have to have a requisite number of points. And you do gain points.
I can't believe you were so dismissive of my Elvis tie story. You wouldn't have been that dismissive with Ray Ferraro.
It's a bit unnerving. It's a bit creepy. Like, there's a whole bunch of creepy elements of that story that I really...
Creepier, the fact that I wore an Elvis tie or I hosted a television show?
No, but the guy was like... making note of your ties and...
Yeah, but
I just picture, you know what the problem is? I have a mental picture of you in one of those 70s, you know, spread collar.
Oh, jumpsuits?
Paisley shirts.
No. It was very traditional, very TSN-like traditional suit with an Elvis tie. That's
okay,
all it was.
Good to know.
All right, so back to this whole
I mean, the point is, to make the playoffs in the NHL, you need to get roughly 6 points every five games. That's kind of the way it works.
So we just heard from somebody who texted us, it is in fact 18 games, not 20. So if it is in fact 8 weeks for both of them, 2 months, they play 18 games over the next two
right.
months.
So if you get 18 points in those next 8 weeks,
they're fine.
You're probably fine.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is you can do that. In today's NHL, even the worst teams play at about that clip. Now, you can argue all you want about the semantics of losses or losses and all that nonsense, because it is nonsense. To be perfectly honest with you, points are points. And so losing in overtime and shootouts earns you points.
Yeah.
And that's important. And so, you know, I think the Canadians will scuffle along here. And if they get 18 points in their next 18 games, minus those two guys, they're probably going to be okay.
As you know, we chat with Pierre LeBrun every Tuesday and Thursday, and one of the things we talked about, and this is even before the game last night, so we obviously had no idea about David Desharnais,
right,
who is probably in his last year, I would imagine, not only with the Canadiens. I'm not saying this for any other reason other than to, I think, state a fact. He may be in his last year in the NHL at this stage of his career.
Maybe.
But there was an opening, and he had started to play well, but...
Almost all of the big moves happened in June. Now, Nashville made the Seth Jones deal during the season, but generally speaking, so many huge moves in the month of June because there's no cap. That's when teams start to wrangle away at their needs. Now, still going to be busy. We're going to have some moves to talk about between now and March 1st, but I'm telling you again that June will be where it's at.
It has shifted, right, Gord? The bigger, sexier trades in the NHL are now made prior to the draft, but You got two guys now, 6 to 8 weeks, they're going to be put on the injured reserve list. There's no cap, right?
Well, there is, because here's the problem. Once they come off the cap, so once they come off the injury list, then you're now back in a situation where you can't use their money. So people think there's a misnomer about the injured reserve, that a player's money no longer counts towards the cap. It still does, but you can go over the cap by the amount of their salary that puts you over the cap,
right?
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what happens is when Desharnais and Galchenyuk come back on, now you have to reduce back to the cap number. So if you go and make a trade for a centerman, what do you do with them when they come back?
Well, you'll figure that out when they come back.
Well, but I mean, if you...
That's what they got capologists for, right?
A bona fide top two center, presumably you're giving up something to get him. You're not just going to cut him when he comes back. So, I mean, that's the problem with making deals in midseason. And to be honest with you, most general managers would tell you it's the worst possible thing you can do, is to try to fill a hole caused by injury. Because you're going to give up an asset to do it. You're probably not going to fill it as well as the person that got hurt. And it's just going to hurt you in the long term. Sometimes, you know, in the NFL, if your quarterback gets hurt, you just kind of say, oh, well, that's it, right? And you might just have to say, you know, and I think there were people outside Montreal who would look at the Canadiens and say, their best player got hurt. That happens. You're not throwing in the cards, but in a cap league, that's kind of the way it is. I hate to say it, but
what they did a year ago, ultimately. They must have thought about it, and I'm sure they tried to address it. They weren't really sure about Carey Price, but once it became obvious that he wasn't coming back, it was like, what's the point of just to try to get a few more points in the standings? Let's do it all over again in the summer.
Like, if Jonathan Toews is out for the season, I'm not saying he is, and I have no information that he's out long term. But just say Jonathan Toews is out for the season, Chicago will be life and death to make the playoffs. They will. It's just the way it is. He's one of their best players. Like, you can't just subtract one of your best players and think you're going to and suddenly think you're going to be still an elite team. You're now going to be one of those bubble teams, one of the many bubble teams in the league. It's just the way it is.
And the biggest difference, as painful as it is to lose Galchenyuk, this is his first full year as an NHL centerman, and he was in the top 10 in scoring until very recently, is they do have Carey Price.
Yeah, and they have Shea Weber. Like, this, I would say this. They are better positioned than almost any team in the league to now change the way they play a little bit and just lock it down. They're just going to have to lock it down. They're going to have to play that Ottawa Senators, you know, LA Kings style, where you just lock it down, you know, hope it's 2-1 your way, or it's 2-1 a loss in overtime or a shootout, and just grind it out. That's just the way they're going to have to play.
You know who disagrees with you, huh?
Who's that?
Who do you think?
The way to tighten it up is not to get less aggressive, it's to get more aggressive. It's to forecheck harder. It's to get in on their defense. It's to spend less time in your zone. And if you play really passively, a lot of times you end up getting burned on that. So it's really interesting to me in that, you know, I think we're all kind of thinking the same thing in Montreal, that man, they got to find a way to really limit their goals against, because the goals might be a little bit more difficult to come by, but it's not by sitting back.
Ray Ferraro.
Yeah, and there's the old expression in football, to prevent defense just prevents you from winning. I would argue, you know, the LA Kings are in the mix for a playoff spot, you know, minus Gabrick for a lot of the year, minus Jonathan Quick for almost the whole year, minus Kopitar for a stretch. They're not playing that way. They're just grinding it out.
But that's the way they play anyway, right?
Pardon me?
That's the way they play anyway.
Well, but even more so now. I mean, when you watch them play now, I was joking with Ray. We did a game the Kings played. I said, it looks like the rule change Daryl Sutter wants to make is to put the net in the corner. So that's where they spend all their time. Like, do they know the net's still in the middle? Their goal seems to be to get to the corner.
Well, I mean, with this grouping, this personnel grouping that the Canadians have without these two centers, I mean, I think Gord's got to be right.
Well, Philip Deneau, look, they got Philip Deneau. They and I mentioned Desharnais the last year of his contract. I think their plan was to have Deneau kind of move into that third slot, and he's been moved on the wing this year, but he's back in center. He can play center.
Yeah.
He looks like a good player. He's a heady player.
Can you do it with Plekanec?
No.
Shaw, Deneau, and Mitchell. Tough to say.
No, you're going to have to get, Brendan Gallagher scored one goal in 20 games. He's got to start putting the puck in the net. You got to have a power play that doesn't go 0 for 5. You need offense. You need Andrighetto to contribute now that he's back up.
You've got Weber, Markov, Yemelin, and Petrie, and Price. That's as good in that area as there is.
Who's the best team in the NHL this season that you've seen?
Well, I was going to say the New York Rangers because they're so deep.
They're scuffling a little lately.
They're scuffling now. Pittsburgh looks to me like they're really coming. And I think, I just did a Penguins game the other day. They're exhausted. Their players are dead exhausted. I asked some of the guys on Monday if they'd gone to the Steelers game because I'd gone the day before to the Pittsburgh Steelers game. And to a man, they all said, "Are you kidding? I didn't leave the house. I just stayed on the couch." And so they had so many guys in the World Cup. They played so late into the year last year, of course. And now they're playing, I think they're playing 15 times in December. But they're starting to come. I mean, their depth is so good. Letang is so good. The question is, what are they doing in goal? Is Matt Murray ready to be the everyday number one guy? And as Jamie McLennan points out to us all the time, it's a whole different animal being the number one goaltender. When you've got to play 60 to 65 games, that's a whole different deal than it is being, 1-1A or the backup. But they got to do something with Marc-Andre Fleury because he's got a no-move clause. They're going to have to protect him. That means they automatically have to protect him if he's on their roster after the trade deadline.
And yet, it's hard to believe, man, was he pissed when they yanked him the other night, but it worked. It worked out beautifully for Mike Sullivan.
Well, it wasn't really, one of the goals was kind of iffy. They weren't playing very well. But, I honestly think what happened last night with Larson a little bit is guys are tired.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are really, really tired. I mean, don't forget, the season's normally 186 days long. You lost 8 days, I think, to the World Cup, and now every team's got a 5-day bye. So you're basically, you've taken 2 weeks off the schedule for the same number of games. And players, everywhere I go around the league, are talking about how tired they are and how worn out they are. Some of these guys, don't forget, like a guy like Kopitar, think about Andrei Kopitar. He played in Olympic qualifying for Slovenia, right? They qualified. Then he went straight to the Team Europe training camp, played in preseason games, I think Quebec City, Washington, and Montreal, right?
Right.
Then he played in the World Cup, got to the final. Then he goes to training camp and starts the year with the LA Kings.
And people are all over him in LA because he's got, two goals or three goals or whatever
right.
It is.
Yeah. And he plays hard minutes.
Yeah, he's my favorite player, Gord.
Yeah, he plays heavy, heavy minutes, right? So it's a lot to ask of these players. It really is. I mean, I'm not saying all poor NHL players, but it's a physical grind, and it's even more so a physical grind this year. Do you still have a tie?
I have it tied around a hanger, yeah.
You're like a junior player. Junior players keep their tie tied for 4 years and wear it to every game.
I'm a junior tie wearer. That's what I am. Great talking to you again, Gord.
You too.
All the best. Talking next Wednesday after 6. Actually, that time of the year coming up again, it'll be Elvis's birthday. Maybe I'll wear a tie-in for Elvis's birthday. We got this text. Great to hear you mention the name of Bill Merrill. He was a dear family friend, someone we lost much too soon. Thanks. Love your show from Dan in Beaconsfield. Yes, there were always more than the usual number of screenings of the Elvis 68 comeback special and Elvis movies when Bill Merrill was in charge of programming across the street.
Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon. Brought to you by Wrangler's Premium Performance Cool Vantage Jeans. Don't sweat the job. Do like Gary Price. Choose Wrangler's Cool Vantage Jeans to be cool and stay cool.
Hey, I just saved $250 with Videotron.
Wow, that's a lot of cash.
You know what? Dinner's on me. Garçon, a bottle of your finest wine.
The Chateau Baron, 1943.
oh boy.
And for your main course?
Maybe just another basket of bread?
Activate a premium mobile plan for 24 months with Videotron and save up to $250 on your device, plus a surprise gift. Certain conditions apply. Videotron, number one in customer service according to Forrester.
Gentlemen, it's time to get back in touch with Shea Paray. The newly renovated Shea Paray features the ultimate in adult entertainment. It's the place for your